Ja, het is een groot voorreg. Ik is so dankbaar dat ik hierdie wonderlijke ervaring het in ons gemeentes, in Voet 12, om op een gezonde manier onder autoriteit te wees. Julle, daar is soveel abuse en misuse en goed wat aangaan in termen van autoriteit en hartseer genoeg, selfs in kerke en baie keer vooral in kerke. En ek wil net dankie wees aan Jesus vir die harte van ons ouderlinge, wat eindelijk skaapwagters op elke manier is. En ek gaan na talle van ons gemeentes in Suid-Afrika en oorsee, en iets wat ek elke keer net weer verbaas staan, is die absolute harte van die leiers, wat sê, we want to lay down our lives for the sheep, like we exist, so that they can do well in Jesus. So hier is julle weer, ek het nou eers eindelijk hierdie naweek regtig vir Marjolein en Konrad leer ken, en ek het bietjie met profetiese oog na hulle gekyk, en na van hulle leiers, en ek wil vir julle sê, julle is in 'n veilige plek, so gee julle self, make the job a joy, want my lewe is 'n voorbeeld daarvan, dat as ons ons self gee, vir, we die Bible sê, consider the outcome of their lives, and obey them, en daar is 'n sense van, ons kom in die blessing in, wat ander mense voorgewerk het, as ons onder authority kom, en selfs in termen van, you know, ek gaan hoor, ontmoet baie mense, wat soos in praat van, ja, ek het 'n ministry, en ek het al nooit gevoel, ek het 'n ministry nie, ek het gevoel, ek het oop deure, ek het geleentheid, ek het a household of faith, en ek het, mense oor my, wat sekeur genoeg is in Jesus, om ander mense te release en wat die Here vir hulle het. En ja, so ek staan voor julle as iemand wat nie gefight het vir die geleenthede nie. Ja, it's quite humbling. Selfs hierdie ding van offering vir my opneem, ek is soos in, dit is net, ja, ek wil nie soos in false humility van, oh, ek is nie waardig of ek is nie, maar dit is net nog steeds, dit is 'n humbling ding, om ontvang te word, so wat julle my ontvang het. My kar is gewas, ek het vir 'n fisio ding gegaan, so regtig julle hoef nie vir my offering te gee nie, dit is amazing, hoe ek alreeds gebless het. Maar ja, so die woord wat ek vanaand het, dit is nogal interessant, ek het nou in worship, denk ek is eindelijk nogal Hans Wors, ek hou nogal van as mense van my grapjes lag, ek denk, ek persoonlijk, ek is nogal snaaks, maar vanavond, en het is selfs dier die naam, het is ook een oomlikke gehad van, soos in die whitey, soos the fear of the Lord, en selfs vanavond voel ek het, ek voel so'n bietjie, ja, ek voel of ek wil huil, net die bewustheid, dat dit wat die Here vanavond bring, ek wil het so graag mooi duidelijk bring, of ek nou Mengels of Engels of Afrikaans praat, maar ek wil net, please hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because I do feel it's a word from the Lord to prepare us for dealings of God that is to come. So ek voel regtig, die Here kyk na julle en hy weet wat hy deur hierdie gemeente wil doen. Hy weet wie hy wil uitstuur. Hy weet wie hy wil gebruik om 'n impak te maak op verskillende plekke. Of dit nou op klein maniere in mense se oë is, of groot maniere in mense se oë, maar die Here se hart brand vir hierdie gemeente om julle te gebruik, om julle te gebruik om sy bruid voor te brei, om julle te gebruik om hierdie verlorenes in te bring. Hy wil dit doen, en hy is, he's committed to work on his own, the tools that he uses for the job. Hy is committed om te werk aan sy kleiwesels, waarin hy sy, into which he puts his glory. Hy is committed, en hy het sy oog op julle, en daar is van ons kant af, al is hy totaal sovereign, daar is nog steeds daar ding van wat ons kan sê, ons knie kan buig, en ons harte kan oopmaak, en sê, yes Lord, do whatever you need to do in me, and do whatever you need to do through me. So vanavond se woord is eindelijk, dit is a prentjie wat die Here vir my gegee het, en ek hoop het gaan by julle bly, want ek voel daar gaan een tyd kom, wat julle gaan nodig het, om mekaar te herinner aan hierdie woord. Een tyd wat dinge gaan moeilik raak, en wat julle vir mekaar gaan herinner en sê, onthou die Here het ons gewaarsku, onthou die Here het gesê, hy wil 'n werk in ons doen. So, ek was 'n kindstudent, So, baie jare terug nou het ek in PE kuns geswat en ons eerste jaar was baie lekker. Ons het allerlei goeders probeer en ek was baie sleg met die meeste van dit en een van daai goed was pottery, klei wat ons met ceramics gemaak het. En ek is verskriklik lui in die natuurlike. So die Here moet my omtrent opgewonde oor iets maak voor ek hard werk af voor. So vir my is die kreatiewe proses heerlik, maar enige iets wat tedious is, wat net soos boring, mundane werk is nou niks lekker vir my nie. En 'n groot deel, kyk wat kry ek julle? No worries. This is so nice, appetizer. In elk geval, ek is ADD, vir die wat julle wat my nog nie gediagnoseer het op die stadium, ek hoop al julle fone is af. So, so die eerste, ek was nou by die ceramic klas laas, nie. So in die ceramics, in die pottery, there's a process that the clay goes through. So a big part of the process is already done when you get the clean clay in front of you. So the clay was cut out of a riverbed or something, the sticks and the stones were taken out, and then this piece of clay is put in front of you, you get a piece of it, and you have to wedge it. And the wedging process, I actually heard the Lord say to me, it's a tedious task. And I went to look up tedious. Want as Afrikaans jou eerste taal is, dan gaan jy en jy Google het en jy vra wat die dictionary sê en dan weet jy wat het, dan verstaan jy mooi. En tedious het ek opgesoek, wag, ek het iewers neergeskryf. Tedious. It is tedious, a tedious task is a task that's too long, slow or dull. It is time tiresome, it is monotonous. So, dis nie die fyn deel van 'n kleiwesel maak nie, maar dit moet gewedge word. So, wedging is throwing it against the table, pressing down on it, rolling it over, and the purpose of the process is to work out things that you cannot even see. Little tiny bubbles. Little air bubbles. I mean, really, what's the big deal? But you have to work it and work it and work it. And if you neglect the process, you get into trouble later. And I soon learned, hello, jy het wel by my geblei, of is jy juist a sissy? And so if you skip that part, and I one of the first things we made, I think it was a tree of life or whatever, really ugly stuff first year students can come up with when you do ceramics the first time. But I didn't wedge my clay properly. So when our vessels or when the things we made went into the oven, mine didn't make it. And I learned a very hard lesson. It was very obvious whose fault it was when other trees were also damaged. Because you could just see mine has exploded, and then around it there's cracks and there's pieces out of the things that were around it. So I'm sure you're starting to get some of the symbolism already of what the Lord wanted to say to me as he reminded me of this process. So in the heat, the air expands. If that little bubble was on the surface of the vessel, it would just cause a little chip out. Little like a scar on the clay. If it was deep, deep, deep inside the clay, it could actually do a lot of damage, crack it, or like I said, to the point of exploding and taking out other vessels around it. So my message tonight, urge you and say to you, stay under the potter's hand. A lot of the work that the Lord do in us is not fun. It's tedious, it takes too long, it's monotonous. And in our own eyes, it doesn't seem necessary. We don't necessarily see the difference it makes at times when we stay under his hands. So then the potter, after the clay has been worked, the potter shapes a beautiful vessel and it's useful, and that's the end of the story. No, it's not the end of the story, unfortunately not. As I said, the time goes, at this point, like when the vessel has been shaped like that, people already go, wow, that's a mooi bloempot, or wow, dit is 'n oulike melkbekertjie, or whatever. So these people start actually noticing what the purpose of the vessel is, and there's a measure of beauty to it, or whatever, but there's still lots to be done. So the next step would be that it gets put on the shelf, and we'll talk a little bit about that too in the symbolic sense. But it has to stay on the shelf until it is bone dry, and only then it can go into the oven. And even with that stage, I feel that some of you are, you feel like you have, God has done so much in you. He shaped so much in you. When a prophetic person comes through and they're like, oh, you see the call on your life. And then, you know, like other people say, yo, you're so gifted. But the elders seem to forget you on the shelf. Like they haven't given you a congregation to lead. They haven't sent you as an apostle to the nations. Like what's wrong with them, you know? And there's parts of God's dealings where it feels like we're on the shelf. And unfortunately, for most of us, it doesn't feel like God left us on the shelf. It feels like people left us on the shelf. But I want to encourage you today that God can give your leaders eyes to see. And you can pray for them, pray that they'll hear the Lord, they'll be in keep in step with him. And I'll give you some tips now what to do during the shelving process. Let's look at some scriptures. Isaiah 64 verse 8. Are you guys with me? Am I tedious and boring? I don't know. Good. Someone's excited. So Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, our potter. We are all the work of your hand. It just struck me when I read that scripture that God is so clear on it that he's not just, as Isaiah says it now, reminds us, that he's not just the potter, the one who shapes us, the one who wants to use us, but he is our Father. And I mean, if you think about it, the way that a father, a good father, deals with his children, even if they work for him, even if it's a family business, is so different to someone who just have people working for them. There's such a different heart. If you think of a surgeon working on a patient that is just another person to them, or a surgeon who's cutting into the heart of their own son, their own child. And to remember that when you are tempted to push the father's hand away, the potter's hand away, remember that he's a good father, that he cares deeply for you, that he is very, very intentional in the way he touches and shapes. And even when he throws your heart against the table, it is so that he can work things out of you that will cause damage down the road and cause such deep hurt. And we see it over and over again in marriages, in ministries, in churches, in relationships, that little things over the years, if you see someone getting taken out and destroyed, and you ask about where did that thing come from, people would have noticed little things already years ago. And that's why tonight's word is so key for you, that you let the Lord do what he wants to do in you now. Let him do what he wants to do in you now. You know, there's something that people often say is, go, oh, but this works for us. You know, if someone challenges them saying the way you build your life is not biblical, you know, and they go, well, it works fine for me. You know, the word speaks about building your house on the sand or on the rock. Have you noticed that you can have a really nice, solid house on the sand for a long time? It's only when the storm comes. Only when the storm comes. And Wellington PM, there's storms coming in your life. There is storms coming. Make sure you are built on the rock. Make sure that you let the potter do what he wants to do, because there's a kiln coming. And the kiln is not to kill you. Yes, it's 120 degrees. That's a medium kiln. Can you? No, sorry. No, it's way worse. Where is it now? I wrote it down. 1,200 degrees Celsius. Hello? It's not to dry out rusks. It's to seriously destroy any straw. Alle strooi brand in die oond. So 21 graden Celsius is die medium oond waarin kleivessels ingaan. En dit is dikwels net die eerste vuur. Baie vuure kom nog. So when the fire comes, you will be ready if you just let the Lord do the little things in you when he wants to. Just stick with his program, little by little, day by day, keeping in step with the Spirit, welcoming his dealings and welcoming his voice and his dealings through people. And not just the people that's over you in the Lord, even the people that corrects you, and they didn't correct you in even a nice way. They were a bit irritated, frustrated. But to bring those things before the Lord and say, Lord, is that little air bubble in me that I must deal with? Because it's only when the pressure's on that we really notice that we're not exactly like Jesus yet. So, are you guys hearing me? Is this applicable to your lives? I hope I'm not too mystical and too arty in my illustrations. Another scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10, also reminded me of this picture. Shall I try this stuff? The service is fantastic in this place. So Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As we walk with Jesus, there's things coming, there's jobs for us to do to his glory. So there's this wonderful thing. It's not like, you gotta pursue and make it happen and step on other people and then you'll walk in the good works that God has prepared for you. No, you walk with Jesus, you'll walk into the good works that he has prepared for you. And if you allow him to be the one who works in you, if you allow him to be the potter that shape you, you will be ready for those things. You will be prepared for those things. And something that I often, the last while the Lord's been putting his finger on, and I think in our leadership times together this weekend also often came up, is that we think very much I am God's workmanship, me as an individual. But I think more and more the Lord wants to break that mindset in us and realize that there's way more in Scripture about us being built together, being used together, going through the fire together. We are God's workmanship. And often, I think we feel we're on the shelf. We've been on the shelf for too long, and maybe you have been. But another reason why you have to have the vessels first on the shelf before they can go into the kiln is that the kiln is a big thing that has to be heated up, as I said, to high temperatures. And sometimes there's other vessels that's not ready that's supposed to go into the kiln together. And I think we can forget about it. Sometimes you can think, why am I still not walking in that thing that was prophesied over me, that thing that God promised for my life? Maybe the team's not together yet. If I think of us planting Just Jean, and there were four of us in the first meeting and then eight of us. So I would say the first church planting team were eight of us. And if you think the strange ways that we met, that we got saved, that God put us together, but we were the right. God put us together. We were his workmanship. And then he started building you guys together with us. And 21 years and 31 congregations and 412 churches and whatever later year we are. But there was a work that was more than just about Andrew and his gifting or myself and my gifting or Julie and her gifting. God built us together. He built us together. And in this congregation, your friend next to you is not the competition. He's the teammate. I know as young men, I think there's you get selfish ambition and you get youthful zeal and you get all these things. And I'm grateful for that in young people. But one of the weaknesses that goes with it is competitiveness, let's see who's an elder first, Let's see who can plant the most churches. and I'm saying it tongue in the cheek. But at the same time, remember your brother is not your enemy. Your brother is your teammate. And we can only, but the body can't decide. Even if you have a really weak left hand and a really sore toe, you can't just leave it behind. It's got to come with. It's part of the body. It's part of the body. When the one hurts, the others hurt. One person's disappointment is all of our disappointment. One person's breakthrough is all our breakthrough. And when we can start thinking away of just me, because it goes the other side too, is when I'm tempted to push the potter's hand away, I'm not just setting myself up for damage. I'm setting my brothers and sisters up for damage. It's not just myself that must deal with, say, an area of bitterness. My bitterness will work through the body, will hurt and affect others. I mean, I just think I've grown in wholeness over the years, but when I was very, very broken, I hurt a lot of people. I was ruled by rejection, and I rejected a lot of people. And I reacted to a lot of people in ungodly ways, and I damaged a lot of friendships. And it's easy now in retrospect to see that it was actually all me. The poor oaks couldn't have done it. I mean, the people that were involved in those relationships that were damaged. And the only reason why I am where I am today is I made some friends with some stubborn people who didn't let me bail out of relationships when I feared rejection. When I started feeling now they know me too well, like I must actually just, I'm going to sabotage this friendship because I'm scared now of rejection. I care too much or whatever. If I didn't have people that actually stood by me and walked me through, I don't know where my life would have been. I can guess. I've got some ugly guesses. But thank you, Jesus, for brothers and sisters who didn't say she's such a mess and she's too much trouble, let's leave her behind. You know, I'm going to give you inside information. But when Andrew planted the church with those 8 people, I don't know about the other guys, but I don't know about the other guys, Marilyn Monroe, no jokes, that was so stupid, forgive me, sugar. And so I don't know about the other guys, but I know personally, myself and Julie, both of us, Andrew had really good leaders, and I think rightfully so, warn him against both of us. But Andrew just took a chance on us. He was hard on us. He let the potter use him to be the hands that smacked us against the table sometimes and shaped us and pulled us in ways we didn't want to go and pushed us past our own, the limitations we put on ourselves. And both Julie and I can testify about a leader that, in spite of the hard times we've given him, I know I've given Andrew sleepless nights. I know I've caused him some embarrassment in the nations. And yet, he's loved me and he's believed in me as part of the we that together can build healthy church for Jesus. So I want to encourage you to see one another like that. Yes, we all clay. Yes, we're all full of nonsense. Yes, we all have need of a lot of work. I'm still in need of a lot of work. I am very, very, very human. I'm very much dust and clay, and God's decided to put a treasure in me. Don't be fooled when I prophesy. That it's got nothing to do with our gifts, our spiritual gifts. It was probably given to you because you're such a loser, so that God can get all the glory, so that no one would think, oh, it must be. But anyone that knows me, it's not like, oh, because Melanie is so clever, she can prophesy. No, it's got nothing to do with me. I have been rescued. I'm thinking of that psalm that says, he took me out of the miry clay. But now, now we'll have to change a bit. I'm the clay that he took out of the mire, and then the mire out of me, and then he wedged me, and then he shaped me, and he's put me through a few ovens, and he's making me useful so that I can be a vessel for his glory, a vessel for special use. And that's what he has for all of us. So don't despise the dealings of the Lord. He can save us so much pain down the line. So much pain. And those around us. So, what do you do when you're on the shelf? Is there anyone that can relate to that on the shelf stage? Well, you know there's a lot in you, but God doesn't seem to release you in like what you would have thought you would be doing that by now in the kingdom. Anyone? One honest person. Two. Hi. Anyone else? never get a little bit frustrated thinking there's got to be more? Thank you for that. I'm going to try that again with closed eyes. No, don't. So this is my tips to you. If you feel, sure, surely I've been shaped. Surely I should be more fruitful by now. And the first thing is remember his faithfulness. The fact that he who found you, he who saved you, are faithful to finish the work he started in you. He is not afraid of tedious work. He's not afraid of taking his time. It was such a beautiful a prophetic picture for me, but years ago, a girl got saved in our congregation out of sexual immorality, and she was a lot of work. She was a very broken person, but she moved. She stayed with me for a time, and she's just so precious to me. She's been a deacon now for a few years, serving in Malkwa's congregation. She's an absolute star. Come such a long way. But I remember when she was fairly newly saved, I took a few girls away, and the one day I said, let's do this little exercise in terms of hearing God's voice. We all went for a walk on our own, and each of us just prayed on the way and prayed for one another, and then I said, on the way back, just pick up a random object. And she picked up a piece of tinfoil, like that's all folded up and quite dirty and stuff. And when we got back, someone had a word for her where they said they felt the Lord said that the way it's so much fun, like to work out, like all this, have you ever done that? Like to splatten tinfoil like that. And he's doing it and he's taking his time until he sees his reflection in her. He'll keep doing that. And he's really been faithful today. He does it. When you look at it now, you see Jesus. So remember his faithfulness. The one who saved you is able to bring you into usefulness as you give yourself to him. Yeah. So then the second thing is, until you are doing what you believe you're called to do ultimately, just do good to the people of God and the household of God. Just keep your hands busy. Do what your hands find to do. Don't think, oh, but I'm called to teach, so now, until they give me this mic, I'm just going to, like, sit and watch, you know, and learn, and maybe learn to stand like an elder in worship, you know, and maybe, like, start, you know, strutting like the Conrad and whatever. No, don't do that. Move these plastic chairs around. You know, like, whenever I see kids in church dragging these plastic chairs around, I go, that is such a charismatic church kid, you know? Like, they're from little, they're, like, moving plastic chairs. Yeah? And I know you are a congregation like that. You serve your hearts out. You are willing to do the menial things. Until you, the doors have been opened to you, the opportunity has been entrusted to you to use maybe the gifts that God has called you to, he's been preparing for you over a while. Just do what your hand finds to do. Just serve. Yeah, and it's not, you know, like the Lord teaches us such amazing things. Like, I don't know if you've seen people that's been lopsided in the, so for example, there's a lot of church movements where you will be used for your gifting, and no one cares about your marriage or your life or your character or your insecurities or whatever. You'll be used for your gifting, and you'll be used to grow the crowd and whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Healthy church is not like that. The New Testament is not like that. We care more about you than what you could do for Josh Jean. We care more about you than we care about your gifts. Like I said, the gift is something God gives. And that is wonderful, but we care about you becoming more like Jesus. We care about you growing into a deeper relationship with him. So what I also find is when people are allowed to say only grow in their gifting and not serve in every part of the church. Say, for example, Conrad's never served in any way. He's never had to pastor anyone. All he does is take the mic and, like, wow you with his sermons every Sunday. I find people like that are uncompassionate, out of touch with the people of God. Someone that can just prophesy over people but never have to actually sit and have a cup of tea and have that girl I mentioned living in a house and being part of just the family of God with the little ones changing diapers, being kept up awake by new believers screaming and crying and in need of care. There's something so big that's so missing, and we can never get away from whatever your call is to love God and to love His people. So just love His people in whichever way you find, and then when you get released into really what the Lord has shaped you as a vessel to do, you will use your gift to love people, which was God's intention all along. Then another thing to do, I would say, is on the shelf, is to work your endurance muscles. Ask anyone that, like for me, I feel like the way I live now fits me like a glove. I'm so, so blessed. I travel. I have incredible open doors. I meet amazing people. The Lord uses me. I get blessed. I'm happy as a chappy. But it doesn't take away. It doesn't mean now everything's easy. It's not like I've taken hold of the prize. No, no, no. The prize is still like heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know what I mean? There's an endurance race to run. And for Conrad, it's not like, is everything perfect now that you're a lead elder?
Excuse toch?
Is life easy and everything's perfect now that you've reached the goal of being a lead elder?
Glad nie.
And being married to a lead elder, is that just a breeze? No. So the endurance muscle, you're going to have to fight the good fight for the rest of your life until Jesus fetches you. We're going to have to be victorious over the lies of the enemy and our own feelings, the lies of our own flesh. And so use those times where you feel frustrated. Use those times to crush Satan under your feet, but also your own emotions, to learn to say no to your own flesh and to let the Lord build a muscle into you of faith and endurance. So, Lord Jesus, we are the clay and you are the potter, Lord. And Jesus, if we look at our own hearts, we look at our own lives, Lord, we would hope that we're soft clay, but we're so aware that there's parts of us that's not that yielded to you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I just feel this urgency before you tonight, Lord, that you want to do something by your Spirit, that the parts of us that's going to just bring damage to your kingdom in years to come if we don't allow you to cut it away, the parts of us where our hearts are hardened in sin or hardened in bitterness or hardened in offense, Lord Jesus, even the parts we're not aware of tonight, Lord, won't you come and rain on us? I mean, like, reen op ons, deur die Gees. Kom, Heilige Gees. Kom, Heilige Gees, iets wat ek so bewus van is, as ek nou dink aan klein pottery, dat so baie water betrokke in die hele proses. En ek voel dit, ek weet, julle is een gemeente wat lief is vir die Heilige Gees, en vir hom spasie maak, en vir hom tyd maak. Maar ek voel nie, dis een seisoen wat hy wil sê, stop 'n bietjie en wag. Laat ek op jou reën. Let my spirit get into parts of you that it's never been allowed into. Daai diep plekke van jou hart, daai kamers van jou hart wat jy lank al toegemaak het en vergeet het dat dit eers daar is. So kom, Heilige Gees. Kom, Heilige Gees. Kom, Heilige Gees. U wil dinge doen om ons pyn te spaar in die toekoms. U wil dinge doen sodat ons kan vrugte dra wat gaan hou. U wil dinge doen in ons harte, so that we'll endure till the end, so that we won't be tripped up by the enemy's schemes. The tiny bubbles that cause great troubles, won't you come and pop those tiny bubbles? Won't you come and reach those hidden corners, Lord? Kom, Jesus. Kom, Jesus. Kom, Jesus. Ek het, in worship, het ek net gevoel, daar's van julle wat that enjoy this race in God and you're doing it well. Daar was ons hierdie TT races in Isle of Man waar ons ook kerke het. En dis iets verskriklik. Ek het nou net opgesoek, maar hulle top speed is oor die 320 km per uur. Die beste lap, average lap speed is 220 km per hour. I mean, it's net crazy. Ek was soos in, ja, ek was een jaar daar vir die TT races, ons gaan die TT races kyk en dis hoe die TT races lyk. So jy staan en ek het so klomp foto's geneem, net van soos die straat oorkant, soos die sypaadjie. Dit is ongelooflik vinnig en dit is, ek meen die ouens, they risk their lives, dat is mense wat sterf, elke liewe jaar, dat nou weer, die vorige reis was alweer twee ouens wat gesterf het. So dit is levensgevaarlik en is exhilarating en het vat hoë skill en het is incredibly exciting en al die dinge. En ek het gevoel, dat is van julle wat miskien nie bewus is daarvan nie, maar dat is goeders wat julle aan julle bikes het, wat moet afkom. Dat is goed wat julle saamdra, wat moet neergelê word. But it's actually when the race gets intense, and when you have to go around the most dangerous corners, daai dinge is actually baie, baie, baie gevaarlik. So, ek dink een van die goed wat die duivel doen is, hy kom na ons toe soos a wolf in skaapklere. En ek voel van julle het lammetjies, wat eintlik maar wolfies is in skaapklere, wat julle so bietjie toegang in julle lewens gee. En as die Here vir jou vanaand wys dat dit so is, asseblief praat met julle deacons ouderlinge, praat met as dit 'n deacon is wat of 'n ouderling is wat dit het, asseblief praat, bring dinge in die lig in. Maar ek voel net dis 'n tyd to clean the house, to make sure that not that we're all perfect and God's we're a work in progress, but that everything that God wants to touch on and put his light on, that we are open for him to do that. For him to remove every obstacle, everything that could entangle us in our faith. Soos, da's goed wat, mens gaan nie, ek weet nie of iemand al julle tekiese veters aan mekaar gebind het nie. Dis eers as jy probeer loop, dat jy besef en dat jy struikel. En ek voel net, daar's so 'n roeping op julle om te gaan. Die prentjie wat ek ook Vrydag aand dink ek gehad het is van hierdie soos dit net was daai kamers vol struis eiers wat dit ge-incubate word. Nou volstruis is 'n goeie een nie want hy klein vlieg nie. Maar ek het net gesien hoe dit ook 'n gemeente is waar mense inkom en they being incubated so that they can grow up and learn to fly and then fly off and build nests for others in different places in the world, in different places in the country. Soveel van julle gaan church branch support, soveel van julle gaan a radical impact maak in dorpe waar julle trek vir werk en al daai goed. But this part is so important. So important. En ek kan nie, ek dit vloof ek nie myself kan express vanavond nie. Ek hoop julle voel ietsie van daai the fear of the Lord of we don't want to miss you, God, and we don't want to miss your processes because Satan is not a joke. Hy is nie a cartoon character met horinkies nie. He really is prowling around looking to whom he can devour. Hy kyk regtig, waar is daar flesh, want daar kan ek 'n gap kry. So vanavond is so geleentheid om nie die Heilige Gees toe te laat.